Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Preserving a writing system that's been around for 2,000 years, that is the goal of our next guest's work. Anthropologist and epigrapher, Dr. Michael Grove, is the president of Mayas for Ancient Mayan, MAM, and chair of the anthropology department at Sacramento City College. He and a group of his colleagues from around the world are working to preserve the learning, reading, and writing of classic Maya hieroglyphic script. The ancient Maya script has been around for thousands of years, but has largely been forgotten or simply lost in the last 500 years as the Maya people were forced to abandon their unique writing style system after nonstop colonization. While there are still dozens of Mayan languages still spoken, roughly 30, I think, they have been cut off from reading and understanding their written history. The work now is to reconnect Maya people with their history and sciences. This evening, Dr. Grove is giving a lecture at the Mexican Consulate here in Sacramento, and it is titled A Tree Regains Its Roots, Revitalization of the Maya Hieroglyphic Script. Good morning, Dr. Grove.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
That's the first time I've said epigrapher.
Most people don't know that word. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So give us a little window into your really unique and fascinating world. How did you first get interested in Maya people and really the ancient writing system?
Well, my dad was always interested in archaeology, Maya archaeology. He went hitchhiking down there when he was 20, way back in the early 1950s. And he always had stories about it. But I went on to study marine biology. But I wanted to save the world from humans. But as I studied biology, I then became really interested in cultural anthropology and realized that it was through cultural anthropology, through our culture, that really is the issue, and changing people's understanding of culture and learning from other cultures that live more in harmony with the natural world was something that really interested me. And I became really fascinated by cultural anthropology, went on to do a master's degree at the California Institute of Integral Studies. While I was there, I was a chocolate maker. And so I just handed you a box of one of my chocolates. And as I was a chocolate maker, I then realized, why am I a chocolate maker? But I was more of an anthropologist, a frustrated teacher. And so I decided to explore the history of chocolate and did my master's thesis on the history of chocolate. And it led me to the ancient Maya, which I had always been interested in from the edges. And I decided to make a really nice chocolate box that was going to teach people about where chocolate comes from and how the Maya domesticated it. And so I chose randomly the Maya Hob calendar, which is a 365-day calendar with 19 different glyphs. And I thought it made a nice chocolate box. So I took a year to sculpt all of these different glyphs, some of those that you see right there. And as I'm doing that, I really got familiar with the little nooks and crannies and all the different aspects of this beautiful writing system. And I thought I would put into the box what these glyphs meant and realize that no one had actually fully deciphered this particular series of glyphs. And I became absolutely obsessed with trying to figure that out. And that led me to studying ancient Maya writing and astronomy at UC Davis in the Native American Studies Department, where I then graduated in 2007 and was very interested in working together with indigenous peoples, especially the ancient Maya or the living Maya, of which, there are 30 different languages mm-hmm. still spoken. And because the writing system really had been lost because of colonization, as you mentioned, there is a strong interest among many Maya people about reconnecting with their past. And so here, this very esoteric thing that I ended up studying happened to be incredibly meaningful for a lot of people. And I was recruited to become the president of the organization Mayas for Ancient Mayan, or Maya Antiguo para los Mayas, or MAM. Mm-hmm. And the name MAM is actually, as an acronym, means ancestor or grandfather. It's a reciprocal kin term, actually. It's what grandchildren call their grandparents, too. So it has that meaning as well. So that is how I got interested in it. So
there are still millions of Maya that are still around today. I mean, they're living in countries like Mexico, Guatemala, Belize.
And here, too.
In the United States, Honduras, El Salvador. What is life like for them today? What do you learn from them when you meet and talk with them?
Oh, well, yes, some of the people that I work with right now, They grow up in education systems. I mean, many grow up in traditional households. Often their parents are teaching them Mayan languages, so many of these Mayan languages are thriving. Some of them are not. Some of them are what we call moribund, or where only the older generation is speaking them. But typically, they're coming from relatively low-income households that have less access to education, less access to healthcare, less access to a lot of things that we take for granted here. And so in their school systems, they don't typically learn much about Maya history and this incredible rich past that they have. And so they're very interested, especially since the dawn of the decipherment of Maya writing, which has really only happened since the 1950s and really, really after that, only the 1980s and 90s. They became extremely interested in learning about this. And it's so incredibly meaningful for them to help them keep their languages and cultures alive. And they're very proud of their cultures. And they retained an enormous amount, even though they were forced to abandon the writing system many, 500 some years ago. They still have retained a lot of their cultures by blending it together with Catholicism, for example.
Given that Maya is for ancient Mayan, I mean, your work also includes preserving the hieroglyphic script. For someone who isn't familiar with what that is, what is a hieroglyphic script?
Well, if you think about ancient Egyptian writing and so how, especially the very calligraphic versions, it looks like images of things. Maya hieroglyphic writing is very similar to that, although the graphic content, I would say, is even more elaborate. And the way that artists or scribes called atzib, which also means painter as well as scribe or writer, so writing and painting were seen as one and the same. The writing system really it has very rounded edges, and they would combine together different images, often of faces or profiles of people and animals, of different body parts, of things in the natural world. And some of these came to represent phonetic syllables, whereas others are logographic, meaning very much like Chinese writing, where you have an image that represents a whole word. So it's kind of like Japanese writing in that it combines together a logographic script where symbols represent whole words together with a syllabic writing system where you have syllables represented as well.
We're just getting a little taste this morning of your knowledge and your breadth of knowledge when it comes to Maya culture, because you're going to be giving a lecture this evening at the Mexican consulate. What do you hope people learn when they attend and take it all in?
Well, I want to thank Ambassador Liliana Ferrer, who invited me to present this evening. And there, I think, are about 80 people attending tonight, and I'll be giving a visual rundown of the work that I do, a little bit of the history of the decipherment of writing and the situation going on with language extinction and language death and language change, and how many Maya people are very interested in preserving those languages. So I really hope that people walk away with a deeper understanding of the importance of preserving languages and cultures and worldviews that may not be the dominant worldview, the Western worldview. And so there's so much to offer as far as the history of sciences, the history of art, the history of writing and different cultures that the Maya have to offer. And so I want people to understand the diversity also, that there are 30 different Mayan languages still around, whereas many people think the Maya people disappeared and mysteriously vanished, or, those types of things that you often hear about in popular culture. But the Maya people are very much here. They're very much interested in preserving their languages and cultures and their literature, especially. And preserving their writing system is one really important way they can do that.
We're talking about deep-rooted issues that span centuries, millennia. Why do you think now is the right time for this appetite to preserve and restore potentially lost languages of the Maya people?
Yeah, well, I think now, especially since the decipherment of Maya writing has happened outside of Maya cultures, it's been people like myself who are not Maya, who have had access to a lot of resources, a lot of the published sources that are often in English or not in Spanish and non-Mayan language especially. So Maya people are really interested in gaining access to that, and that's really what my organization is helping to do and helping to fund Maya teachers who are now becoming experts in the reading and writing of the decipherment and using the writing system to write their own specific current Mayan languages. And I think it's a really important moment as well for the rights for indigenous peoples who have maintained knowledge about the natural world, and especially given our issues right now with the environment, with water, with climate change, and so on. There's a lot of wisdom in, for example, the Maya creation story, the K'iche Maya creation story called the Popol Vuh, which is shared by many Maya people and goes back all the way to some 600 BC or so when we see the first evidence of that in a site called Isapa. Hmm.
Finally, in the last 30 seconds to a minute we have, you also go on a field trip of sorts. It's called Congreso, and it's held in Chiapas, and it's going to be next month, and that's the southern Mexico border, which borders Guatemala. Just briefly talk to us about what you gain from traveling to Chiapas, in the spirit of MOM.
Sure. Well, MOM actually sponsors, usually every other year we sponsor the Congreso, which is an international congress of Maya people. And there'll be 120 different Maya people from multiple different countries speaking many different languages, with the lingua franca being Spanish. And I'm being asked to come down to help coordinate this and also teach with some of my colleagues, along with some other Maya professors. But we are raising funds for this right now, and so it's a really wonderful experience. It hasn't happened in the past 5 years because of the pandemic, but this will be the fifth International Congreso on Ancient Maya Writing, or Ojer Maya Tzib, as it's known. And so this is a really important time when we're still raising funds, and if you are interested in helping out with that, please visit our website, which is at Discover MOM, or Discover with the M-A-M afterwards. And there's a support page where you can help, actually, and our PayPal page is actually the best way to do that right now.
And we have a link on our Insight page as well.
Excellent.
To make it easy. Thank you so much for the chocolate. It is beautiful.
You're very welcome.
It's too beautiful to eat, but I'm sure I know it tastes really good.
Mahun uban, as they say in Kakchikel Maya.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grof.
Thank you.
Dr. Michael Grof is the president of Mayas for Ancient Mayan, or MOM, and chair of the Anthropology Department at Sacramento City College. And that is it for Insight today. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.